you tired of the I can't mindset? The I'm not good enough mindset? Do you feel like your negative thoughts control your life? Well, you came to the right place, because in the next 30 minutes, you will learn how to break free from the limiting mindset of anxiety, fear, victimization, depression, trauma, and self-hatred by reprogramming your subconscious mind. It's time to master your mind with Dr. Erica.
Hello, good people, and welcome to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am really praying that everyone is really staying safe, staying home, spending this temporary time reflecting and really thinking about how you will reposition yourself during this time of just transformation. And so I have with me today, this is such a perfect timing. I have with me today the author of Say Yes to Life. His name is Elliot Robertson. He is a spiritual growth coach, an author, and a certified happiness workshop leader. Elliot is the author of Say Yes to Life, 7 Keys to Living Full Out from Within. And he has written devotionals for Daily Word magazine, as well as articles for Science of Mind and Wisdom magazine. He holds a master's degree in psychology, and he will be sharing with us on this book, Say Yes to Life, 7 Keys to Living Full Out from Within. Welcome, Elliot, and thank you so much for being on my show today.
Thanks so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be joining you.
And so I'm really just going to let Elliot take the stage and share kind of his thoughts.
You know, I thought we could begin our conversation today with one of the keys to saying yes to life and to living full out from within, and that's the key of saying yes to grief. I feel like we're all, maybe a lot of us, are in a place of grief, going through the grief cycle. And you know, so many people use grief to, whenever there's somebody who has passed away, if a spouse has passed away, or a cat, or a dog, or however, whoever it was that passed away, that's when we usually think of the word grief. But I like to think of grief in a broader way. You know, if we lose our routines and the cafes that we go to, or whatever it is that we've lost, that can
be just daily life.
Yes, that can also be something to grieve. It's a loss. Whenever there's any loss, then grief is definitely an appropriate response. So I just would like to invite everyone to say yes to grief, to live in the state of grief whenever that shows up, to let all the feelings that come up be experienced and felt totally. I think we're always invited to feel the sadness, the confusion. We can even embrace the denial. Whatever it is that shows up, we can embrace and experience full out.
Yeah, I agree, because I think that oftentimes people are afraid to show that part of them, or some people believe that, oh, you know, if you show emotion, it means that you're weak. Or if you show sadness, it means that you'll get overwhelmed and you won't be able to handle it. And so I do agree that oftentimes people are afraid of these very natural emotions. And so right now, while we do have this change in our lifestyle and change in our daily routines and change in the way that we have known, you know, our daily lives to be, grief and sadness, or whatever that emotion might be, uncertainty or fear, is a natural part of your expression.
Yes. So if it shows up, I just think, let me give you an analogy to let you know why it's so important to feel the feelings as they come, to just allow the feelings to be and not repress them. Think of a beach ball, and it's on the surface of a swimming pool, And you see all the different colors on the beach ball. You've got a lot of different feelings on the beach ball, including happiness and joy and sadness and anger and just any color and any feeling you can think of. It's on the beach ball. Now just imagine that you're pushing it beneath the water. It really is one beach ball, one unit, one place of feeling or feeling system within you. And so it's either going to be pushed down or it's going to be above. You're either going to have access to all of the different colors, all of the different feelings that are included in the beach ball, or they're going to all be repressed. You can't really select them. It's so often we're tempted to say, oh, I don't want to be angry, or I don't want to be sad. This one I don't want. I just want the happiness and joy. And if you are trying to select it, you're going to end up just really repressing the entire beach ball, and you're going to end up cutting yourself off, cutting yourself off from all of the feelings, including the happiness and the joy. So it really is so important to give yourself permission to feel everything 100%, and then it can flow through you, and you can dance with the choreography of the day. You can go with the flow.
Yeah. And I think that it's important that people are okay with it. It's okay to feel whatever it is you feel, 'cause like you're saying, emotions and feelings are many different types and ways that people deal with it. And so when you say yes to grief, how do you then help yourself past it? Once you cry, once you're sad, once you're angry, once you are bitter, once you have expressed and felt that emotion, how do you then move past it?
Yes, that's a wonderful question. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross provided us with five stages to grief. And one of the first stages is denial, and then there's sadness, and no, then there's anger and confusion. Sadness comes after the anger and confusion. And eventually, the end point is acceptance. So, what she's, and the thing is that I really feel like a lot of people in the grief process tend to just go all over the map. I don't think it is really a sequential timeline necessarily. You can, in the course of one day, you may find yourself one moment just really frustrated and really angry. Next moment, you might be in denial, and then later on, you might be feeling sad, and so on and so forth, and just bouncing around from one hour to the next. And that's fine. The thing is that I love about what Elizabeth Kubler-Ross brought to the world's awareness, or at least the world of psychology's awareness, is that she really did have acceptance as the destination. And she really did emphasize that we don't get to the place of accepting our feelings. And also, I would say, our world and what we encounter comes along with it sometimes. We don't get into the place of acceptance until we have just allowed ourselves to experience the feelings that might be showing up. So the flow of the river, the flow of letting the sadness be, letting the anger be, ultimately will help us come into a place of acceptance. And when we're at when we are accepting all the feelings and everything, that really puts us in a position, in an orientation of just being able to embrace everything we encounter and not fight with things. It really, acceptance, I feel like, is the first step to accepting ourselves along with our feelings, accepting what we encounter, the cards that we're dealt. And that really places us in our power and opens the door to celebration.
A lot of times when I'm doing work with my patients and we're doing grief work, oftentimes after they've gotten to the point of acceptance and expressing their emotion, oftentimes they feel like they feel guilty for now being happy again. Like, is it when am I able to be okay with being happy again? Or when am I able to, You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up because there are so many people in my circle who have been feeling very happy and just elated and ecstatic from time to time over the last few weeks. And they need to watch out for falling into the trap of feeling guilty because they are aware of so many people in the world who are going through tough times and who are grieving and who are experiencing sadness or anger. Guilt is never necessary for any feeling. Every feeling that comes up needs to be embraced and honored and accepted, including the ecstasy and the bliss and the joy.
Yeah, I'm glad you say that because that's my sentiments exactly. You know, we can be going through trials. We can be going through sadness. You know, right now I think our earth is kind of going through a healing and renewing of itself. And I feel like at any moment, despite what your current circumstances or situations may be, you have to find a place of thankness and gratitude, or a place of, you know, being thankful that you're here, that you're alive, that, you know, that you're healthy, and just focus on, you know, what you do have to be happy or joyful about.
I appreciate your saying that because gratitude is has been for me at least one of the most powerful parts of my journey into spiritual growth, into greater maturity, into self-acceptance. It's just been something that has really helped uplift my spirits into a better place time and again. And these days I wake up usually with a sense of gratitude and joy. The thing is that sometimes it can be difficult for people who are in the midst of tough sledding and trials to just jump from where they are all the way into gratitude. So I don't necessarily recommend that people start with a gratitude journal. Sometimes people might open up the gratitude journal to a page and say, "Well, my health is okay, for example, so I guess I should be grateful for the health." And whenever you're approaching it from, "Oh, I ought to be grateful for this," that orientation, that mindset doesn't really do the trick. Gratitude is something that we really need to feel in our heart, or else it really doesn't do much good. So what I like to do is I like to invite people to start with an appreciation journal as a first step. For the next 2 weeks, go ahead and just write down three things in your journal every day that you appreciate about yourself. I really like to start by just looking at who we are and what we can appreciate about ourselves. In my case, I might write down, I appreciate my love for cats. I appreciate my tenderness. I appreciate my willingness to learn. I appreciate my heart's capacity to love. You can go for the spiritual things as well as the mundane things. Just whatever shows up, whatever you think of, write it down. And after writing three things down for a couple of weeks, you'll have a lot of things. And that's when part two begins. That's when you go from the bridge of appreciation that's sort of on your mind, down into your heart, and allow each of those things to stir up a sense of gratitude within you. You just go back over that list, and now you're going to be writing down the same thing, except in terms of gratitude. So instead of writing down, "I appreciate my love for cats," this time for week three, you're going to write down, "I appreciate my, I'm grateful for my love of cats. I'm grateful for my willingness to learn. I'm grateful for my tenderness. I'm grateful for my heart's capacity to love."
So for 2 weeks, it's what you appreciate about yourself. And then the third week is that you're grateful for that same quality that you have about yourself.
That's a wonderful, basic, simple exercise to get yourself started in orienting yourself and using it as kindling for gratitude.
I love it. I love it. Okay, we've got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with Elliot Robertson. Hello and welcome to part two. I have the special guest with me, Elliot Robertson, and he's speaking on his book, Say Yes to Life, 7 Keys to Living Full Out from Within. Welcome back, Elliot. I just want you to share with my listeners a little bit about yourself and your story and how you came to write this book.
Sure. When I was in my youth, and when I was a teenager too, I was very much full of self-judgments. In fact, I thought I was too thin to qualify for a romantic relationship, to qualify for going out on dates. And that really, it meant that I didn't see the possibilities that were all before me. I was just so trapped in my self-judgments. And it was across the board, not just in the romantic and relationships area of my life. I also was really judging myself harshly in terms of my competency. I would end out in my youth going from one entry-level job to another and always making peanuts and always wondering how it was that my bosses were able to do such complicated things and telling myself, oh, I'll never be able to have one of those high-level jobs. I'll always be stuck with, or maybe I would say, well, maybe one day in 20 years or something when I'm all grown up or whatever, maybe then I'll be able to have a job that pays a little bit more, that's a little bit more challenging. So that was really one of the main central things that defined my youth, was the constant harsh self-judgments. And I've really become comfortable in my skin. I love my body image now. It's been a gradual journey. A lot of it is, I guess, been spiritual growth in the broadest sense of the word. And these days, I'm passionate about not only having passion for myself, when I look back at myself, having compassion, but also I'm just so compassionate about the young people who are on the same journey I was. But there's so many young people who are full of self-judgment, and I really want to be able to reach out to the teens and the youth and help them with that. In any event, there was also a lot of bitterness going on in my youth. I was walking around New York City where I lived. I was noticing the guys who were at these outdoor cafes that were too expensive for me. Wherever I went, I was in a soup of jealousy and bitterness all the time. I would go to the grocery store and I'd be down to my last dollars, and somebody would have a basket full of goodies, usually somebody younger than me. And I would get really jealous. And it was just something that I was living with all the time.
How did you change that?
You know, for me, it was a very gradual journey. And so in my case, I'm not sure if I can really put my finger on one moment. One piece of it was definitely, just realizing that I would never be able to accomplish my dream. My dreams ever since my youth has been to uplift people on a soul level. And I just realized that I would never be able to make any progress on that. I would just stay on the same trajectory unless I took ownership, unless I realized, stopped blaming God and stopped what I was doing. When I say I was bitter, what I mean is I was blaming God and blaming life for being unfair. Everyone else had the goodies and I didn't have my rewards and I was a good person. So I realized that that had to go. I could no longer blame everything and everyone, blame my father. He didn't deserve any blame. I finally woke up to that truth. And so when I let go of the blame, that was a big step forward. That was a helpful pivot.
Yeah, and I definitely love the chapter that's on saying yes to your uniqueness, because I think that underlying what you're saying in a lot of the work that I do with my patients is this underlying belief that we're not good enough, we're not worthy enough, that we're lacking something. And in this chapter of saying yes to your uniqueness, you talk about how just the fact that you exist and you were born and you were created means that you're worthy, that you don't have to do anything or say anything or be anything or have anything. You're just worthy because of your presence.
Beautiful. I love the way you said that. That's so beautiful and it's going to my heart. Yes, there's no need to achieve anything or accomplish anything or prove yourself, because we come into the world with an undercurrent of joy in our hearts, I believe, that stays with us until the day we die. And we don't necessarily notice it We can go for years and years without really tapping into that undercurrent of joy. And along with that undercurrent of joy, we also come in with just a boatload of divinity, a boatload of the light. Sort of, we can think of ourselves as a ray of light from the sun that has the same exact qualities that the sun has. Maybe we're not the entire sun, but we do have that divine light, that divine essence. So it's so important for us to not limit our thinking and our thoughts to, oh, I'm just this form, and that's the end of it. That we really do need to not only say yes to our uniqueness as humans, but also say yes to our uniqueness as divine beings, to the unique glory that we bring to the world, the unique magnificence, and the unique way in which we are noble and beautiful.
I love that, and I think one of the things that I love about your book is that it, with each chapter, at the end, you provide a part where you speak to your inner child. And I know that a lot of people, when they're dealing with that not enough or low self-esteem or not feeling good enough or worthy enough, have to really speak to the past. You know, and that's that inner child holding on to, like you were saying, the grief or the bitterness or the blame or whatever it is that you were told that you were, that wasn't true. That's not true at all. But you believed it for so long, and now that you're growing, learning more, and hopefully going within, you have to speak to that inner child. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Thank you so much for bringing that up because, we can go around reading books and not necessarily doing the work along with reading the books. And we can sort of, on a mental level, get, oh, yeah, I'm made in the image of God. But we need to get it in our hearts and in our bodies. And we do that when we take the time to be present with the parts of us that don't believe that we really are made in God's image. It's possible to go around thinking that you really do get it, but there's always, something more that needs to be given space, that we need to have a dialogue with. And we just need to take it to a deeper level, is what I'm trying to say. So, in other words, what we need to be doing when we're dealing with the inner child or with the voice within us that is criticizing us, or the voice within us that's saying you're not good enough, or the part of us that doesn't even question the things that we've heard and the self-talk and just thinks that's a fact, that's the way it is, and there's nothing I can do about it. Whenever we're approaching this part of us, we really need to do so with absolutely unconditional love. We need to say to the part of us that's resisting getting up in the morning, you have a right to be exactly the way you are. We need to say to the part of us that is getting jealous of other people, or the part of us that thinks we're not good enough to do a high-level job, you have the right to believe whatever you want, to feel however you want, and I embrace you and accept you exactly as you are, with no strings attached and no manipulation.
Yeah. And I think it's in line with being loving of yourself, being accepting of yourself, acknowledging and trusting yourself that you are with yourself to the end, right?
Yes,
You are
yes.
with yourself to the end, from the
Yes.
beginning to the end. And so you have to trust that you are going to take the best care of you that you can. And that's part of that unconditional love, that you've got to take care of you no matter what you've been through, no matter what other people have judged you or how they've judged you or what they've told you you can or cannot do. You have to commit to you in loving you, and that's sometimes not always easy.
Yes, the little one within you is not going to trust you if you are approaching it with even a drop of judgment or a drop of you need to change. You're wrong the way you are. So this goes very deep. We need to establish a relationship with ourselves that really has nothing but unconditional acceptance and regard and love for who we are. So I really think that what if we are being invited and called to fall in love with ourselves every day when we wake up? What if that's the cosmic invitation? What if it's almost like we're being called to just let go of the judgments? Whenever the judgments show up, we don't need to judge ourselves for judging, but just let go of the judgment and start fresh again.
I love that. I always use the story in the Bible about the woman who was being stoned for being an adulterer. And Jesus said to the crowd, "He without sin be the first to cast the stone." And with that, everyone had to drop their stones. And I think we live in a world that is so easy to judge, and we don't realize that the only person that we can judge or really is ourselves. The only person that we can be accountable to is ourselves, and we shouldn't judge others, and we really shouldn't judge ourselves either. And I think that is a part of our change and growth and transformation as we're on this growth process of really not judging others and not judging ourselves, forgiving ourselves, accepting that we're not perfect and we make mistakes, and it's okay because we can move on and learn from it and grow from it.
Absolutely. It's part of accepting ourselves is accepting our flaws and our helplessness, and accepting that we really do depend on the cosmos, our source. We depend on the divinity within us. We depend on the light within us to be the source of joy, the source of healing.
Yeah. And I think that's why those chapters, Say Yes to Forgiveness, Say Yes to Uniqueness, are really touching to me. And I love the Say Yes to New, because people want to stay in the comfort of the old, but
Right.
the new is unlimited. Go ahead.
Well, we're in a moment now when we are experiencing things that might be new and different from our routines. And whenever we are encountering something that is outside of our comfort zone or that's new, very often we're at a choice point. We can judge the thing that we're encountering. We can just go around all day judging that we can't go to the cafe or whatever it is that we are judging. And that's optional. We can also move into acceptance. That's something that we don't always, it's just good to start catching ourselves, I think. I think that's the start. It's just being aware of, oh, I'm judging, and it's not necessary to judge. Having that self-awareness can really be the starting point to a wonderful spiritual journey of a lot of growth.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there any last words that you have for my listeners? As we are dealing in this COVID-19, self-quarantine, temporary place and time. Any last
Yes. You know, a
words?
number of months ago, before the COVID era began, I call it an era, because things really are changing. It's a new era, I think. But, I did read about a study that was done, and a very extensive study that they've been doing over a number of years. And what they discovered was that more people are depressed in every age category over the last several years than in previous years before then. And the change is most dramatic in the teenagers and the youth. The younger people are really skyrocketing, are really spiking in the numbers of people who are depressed. So what I'd like to encourage everyone is, if you have any teenagers in your life who might be struggling with depression, What they might need to know, what might be helpful, is for you to let them know that life is lived in cycles, that just because the last 2 or 3 years have been rough sledding for them doesn't mean that that's going to be the case in the future. Things do get better so often for people from when they were in high school. I know so many people who had a tough time in high school and maybe in college, and then things did get better eventually. And the 17-year-olds don't really have that kind of perspective that those of us who are in our 30s or 40s might have. We've been around the block a few times. We've had our highs and our lows, our good year followed by our bad year, followed by another good year. And we really just need to let them know that that's how it works sometimes. Let them know that there are cycles in life.
I love that. Thank you so much, Elliot Robertson. I really appreciate you coming on my show and sharing your wisdom with my listeners. And, again, say yes to life, 7 keys to living full out from within. Where can my listeners find it?
Yeah, I'm going to give out one website. You can go to www.sayyestolifebook.com. When you go there, you can either click on the Amazon button or you can click on a button that will give you a few pages from the book and you can get a little taste of the book. Along with those pages, you're going to get a package that includes a 15-minute guided visualization meditation. It takes you to a deep place and it ends with positive affirmations so you can celebrate your inner beauty. Affirmations like, I appreciate my heart's capacity to love. And the other thing that's on that website is a bio, and it has a link to my coaching website. So you can check out that website as well if you want, and it will tell you about the work that I do with teenagers who are stuck with self-judgment and how I help them move from judgment to celebrating who they are.
Wonderful.
Once
Thank you so
again,
much.
sure,
Go
once again,
ahead.
it's www.sayyestolifebook.com.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so
Thanks
much.
for listening to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. We will be back next with another terrific episode that will allow you to master your mind. Please visit hemphappier.com for more information about Dr. Erica and CBD oil. See you next week.